Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us. It's Brad Woodhouse with Protect Our Care. A few days ahead of the 9th anniversary of the signing of the Affordable Care Act, we wanted to bring people together, a new congressman who is involved and ensconced in these issues, and Andy Kim, a few people who can tell personal stories about how important the Affordable Care Act has been in and continues to be in their lives, and then a little from us at Protect Our Care about the situation that exists currently in the healthcare debate. I think 9 years in, we have seen it's been a little bit of a roller coaster ride on the political side as it relates to the Affordable Care Act. We have obviously seen great success in the actual Affordable Care Act itself and what it's done to help bring healthcare to people. We have seen challenges in with respect to the repeal and sabotage agenda of Republicans. And now, with people like Andy Kim giving us a majority in the House of Representatives, we see great opportunities. And with that, let me turn it over to Leslie Dock, who is the founder, the chair, of Protect Our Care, to set the scene a little bit, and then we'll move on in the agenda. Leslie?
Thanks, Brad. Last November, the American people sent a clear message. Voters rejected the Republican war on health care and the Republican war on people with pre-existing conditions. And they demanded an agenda that would lower costs, improve care, and end sabotage. And as Brad said, as we head this weekend into the 9th anniversary of the passage of the Affordable Care Act, Democrats in a new majority in the House are moving forward with an agenda to address those concerns. While unfortunately, President Trump and his allies in Congress continue to demand the repeal of the law, attack an American war hero, and introduce a budget with trillions in cuts to Medicare and Medicaid. This Saturday is the 9th anniversary of the ACA, and it's important to remind ourselves what the ACA has accomplished and what the president wants to take away. More than 20 million Americans gained health coverage, including 17 million Americans who have coverage through Medicaid expansion. Insurers can no longer deny or drop coverage or charge people more simply because they have a pre-existing condition, and they cannot charge women more simply because they are women. Insurers can no longer put annual or lifetime limits on the care people receive. Young adults can stay on their parents' plan until age 26, and the coverage of essential health care benefits like maternity care, substance disorder treatment, and cancer care are required in all policies. Remarkably, President Trump and his allies in Congress, however, continue to do everything they can to repeal all of this and to demand repeal in their latest budget. Thankfully, the Democratic majority in Congress, led by members like Andy Kim, are embarking on an aggressive agenda to lower costs, improve care, and end sabotage. Starting with pre-existing conditions, this agenda will end junk plans that don't provide coverage when people get sick. It will stop surprise medical bills and take the power away from insurance companies and give it back to the people. This agenda will tackle the cost of prescription drugs by ending price gouging for everyday drugs like insulin and giving Medicare the ability to negotiate for lower prices for seniors. It will restore funding for open enrollment and stop the Trump administration from taking administrative action to undermine Medicaid and harm women's health. And it will make coverage more affordable by giving more middle-income Americans financial support. And instead of giving big drug and insurance companies billions in tax breaks when prices are soaring and they are making huge profits, this agenda will hold them accountable. And with that, I'll turn it back to Brad.
Great. Thank you, Leslie. With that, I want to introduce Congressman Andy Kim, a new member from the 3rd Congressional District of New Jersey. Congressman Kim is in the middle of these fights. Healthcare is near the top of his agenda in Congress. He is someone who we work with as a candidate. And we're proud that he is serving in the United States Congress. Congressman Kim.
Hi, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to be on this call. I first connected with and saw the great work of Protect Our Care before I even thought about running for Congress. And just seeing so many people throughout my district, throughout New Jersey, just citizens stepping up to be able to protect their care was incredibly important. And we certainly saw the effects of those at town halls across our district, across our country, to be where they were telling their elected leaders what it was that was important. And that's really what got me into doing this. I'll be honest with you. I never thought that I was going to run for Congress. And the reason why I got into this fight is for these exact reasons. I always like to say that, you know, these are not issues about politics. It's personal. It's personal to the people on this call. It's personal to the people that showed up at these town halls and showed up to be able to express their frustrations and their anger about efforts that are trying to make it harder for them to get the care that they need, especially when we see this intersecting with the efforts to gut pre-existing condition protection. You know, that was something for me that was very personal. My father is a polio survivor and has had a disability his whole life. My mother's got multiple different pre-existing conditions. And now, you know, I'm a father to two baby boys that have had health problems through their young life already. And these are issues where we understand that this isn't about just, you know, legislation on a piece of page. You know, we're understanding the gains that we have made over the last 9 years, but also recognizing the fragility of those gains, as well as the continued effort that we need to always work together on to be able to make sure that everybody in this country, rich or poor, has the care that they need. You know, these are the steps that this new Congress is trying to take, and as a new member of Congress, I'm doing everything that I can to continue to make sure that people in my district and across this country get the care that they need. You know, that's why my very first bill that I introduced, called the SAVE Act, was one that I did co-authored with a Republican member of Congress, Fitzpatrick from Pennsylvania, that incentivizes states to establish state-based healthcare exchanges. And these are proven efforts that can help reduce the cost to different people that are struggling right now. And those types of actions, as well as some of the other steps that are going to be moving forward, are ways that we're trying to make sure we're protecting our care. We're advancing these steps to continue to provide the healthcare quality that is needed, but also be able to get the cost under control. You know, right now, I always think about this one statistic that drives everything that I'm working on, that we are living in a time when 40% of Americans cannot handle a $400 emergency. That is such a striking figure, and it shows just how fragile people's lives are. They are just right on the precipice of so much problem, and so much of our healthcare concerns are drive on that. And we always just need to be very mindful of that as we move forward. Just what a great nation we have here, but just how fragile people's lives are, and our ability to deliver that. I can think of nothing more important that we take on in this new Congress than fighting for people's health care and making sure that they get everything that they need.
Great. Congressman, thank you. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for doing this from the car on a very busy day on your end. With that, I want to introduce Angela Eilers. Angela is from Yorba Linda, California. Her daughter, Mika, has a congenital heart condition. Angela is a member of the little lobbyists. And before I turn it over to Angela, Congressman, I think your phone might be creating some noise. If you can mute it, that would be great.
That one's not my line, as I've been on mute.
Oh, okay, great. Well, we'll identify it on our side and take care of that. Angela.
Hi. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Congressman, for taking time out of your day to speak with us. You said it perfectly that this is a everyone problem. It's not a left, right, or center. It's everyone. I'm Angela. I'm the mother of three. My third child, Micah, was born with a congenital heart defect unbeknownst to us. And so we got thrown into the world, pediatric cardiologist, pediatric cardiothoracic surgeons, and insurance bills that came in. But luckily, we had insurance from my husband's company that covered everything, and we were doing okay. One of the things that I learned after Micah was had her surgery, and it was all during the talk of the Affordable Care Act, were the issue of lifetime caps. And so as you know, the Affordable Care Act did away with the lifetime limits. My daughter, after her second surgery, hit $500,000 in medical costs by the age of 11 months old. So it was a big issue for us, wondering how she was going to continue to have the care that she needed over the course of a lifetime when she was already halfway to that limit if the ACA was rolled back. So one of the things that I struggle with this whole fight the last 2 years was making sure that my daughter always had access to health care, given the fact that my husband was laid off from his job, which allowed him to open his own business. And the only reason that he did so was because of the Affordable Care Act, knowing that we would be able to secure insurance on our own because they could not deny MICA health care coverage. So, you know, he went ahead and did that, and his business has been thriving for the last several years, and we're really, really lucky to have the insurance that we have that still covers her, that never kicks back a bill, but it is very pricey. But I am more grateful every month to write that check for health care than I am of anything, because without the proper medical care for her, nothing else matters at this point. So we are definitely in a situation where we are extremely nervous and extremely scared about the lawsuit that's taking place and how the federal government won't defend pre-existing conditions. My daughter's only 9 years old, and she's going to have this pre-existing condition her entire life. And, you know, it makes us nervous because there's only so much that we could do on our end. What I want to do is make sure that this law stays in place for long after I'm gone. I can't advocate for her when I'm not here anymore. I want her to have the protections that she has now. So that's a little bit about us and why we fight for this law and why we fight to protect our child and all the children who are in the same situation.
Great. Thank you, Angela. And I got to say, from the one of the best things that's come out of the fight that we've had the last couple years has been Little Lobbyists and the work that you all do to lift up the story of your children. With that, I want to introduce Laurel Smith. Laurel is a constituent of Representative Kims from the 3rd District of New Jersey. Like Angela, Laurel has a child with a genetic disorder, and I'll let her tell that story. Laurel?
Hi. Hi, Congressman Kim. Jameson is actually an adult now. He's 28. I've worked for the state for a long time, so I didn't really think too much about our insurance until, because of the Affordable Care Act, he could stay on our insurance until he couldn't anymore. It was a nightmare transitioning to New Jersey's Medicaid system. Many of his treatments aren't covered. We have to sacrifice going from one clinic across the river to the other because they don't accept our health insurance. And when you have a rare disease, the problem is that Jamie's disease doesn't affect just one organ system. It affects his immune system and his neurological system and his heart and his lungs. And, you know, I could kind of go on and on. So our medical expenses have been high for a long time. And, you know, we're to the point now where anything, you know, when I look at the list of pre-existing conditions, he's probably disqualified by 10 of them, you know. And it's just, it's scary. And so that sort of catapulted me into the fight to for the ACA because, like many Americans, I think I didn't really understand all the impact, how it impacts everybody's life. It's such an important law. And it's so important that we keep these pre-existing conditions covered. You know, any of us, you know, without having like $400 is a crisis in our family when you're paying, you know, $2,000 a month for medication or and co-pays and everything else. So for us, you know, it's we have to make sure that Congress and the president keeps these pre-existing conditions in. We have to make sure that all the essential benefits are covered because, you know, it shouldn't matter whether you're a woman or a male. I mean, you know, anatomically people are different and people have different healthcare needs and they both need to be covered. It, you know, insurance have to pay for the coverage. It you know, it's ridiculous the amount of time and energy that people spend fighting unforeseen medical expenses. When you go to a doctor and you get a procedure done and you end up with these unexpected medical bills, it's just insane. So the pre-existing conditions for us, I mean, my son's Gamma Guard, which is what he takes to keep his immune system functioning, it's about $5,000. It's about $2,050 a dose. It's about $5,000 a week. And we do well. Our insurance is covering it. But, again, like Angela's concern, you know, he would have met a lifetime maximum years ago. So we really have to fight to keep those protections for our kids. It's just so important.
Laurel, thank you. I want to thank our previous speakers. Again, it's Brad Woodhouse with Protect Our Care. I just want to, you know, I want to close this call. I think it's important as we focus on the 9th anniversary of the signing of this law on Saturday, on the list of accomplishments this law has achieved that Leslie went over and the type of agenda that Democrats in Congress now can embark on to provide lower cost and better care to the American people. But it's also important to reflect on the threats that continue to remain. I mean, Republicans and particularly President Trump continue to mount an unrelenting war on American health care. All across this country, Republicans are resisting the views of the American people that they want expanded coverage, they want better care, and they want lower cost. I mean, let's just look at states that expanded Medicaid through ballot initiatives in this last election. Well, those Republican state legislatures, those Republican governors in many of those states are defying the will of the people and trying to resist efforts to expand Medicaid in those states after the voters voted to do it. And then there are Republican states and in the Trump administration that want to impose quote-unquote work requirements on Medicaid. Well, we've seen 18,000 people kicked off the rolls in the state of Arkansas, and all this is paperwork requirements that are designed to reduce the Medicaid rolls. The Department of Health and Human Services today is talking about possibly going around Congress to block grant some or all of Medicaid after Congress rejected that idea. And block grants and Medicaid are just a euphemism for slashing the rolls in Medicaid. Beyond that, the president's budget proposes $1.5 trillion in cuts to Medicaid. It also includes cuts to Medicare. And more importantly, the president's budget proposes to return to repealing the Affordable Care Act and turning the portions of it remain into a quote-unquote block grant. And no one needs any more evidence about the president's zeal to continue this repeal and sabotage agenda than his attacks all week against the dead American war hero, John McCain, who voted against repeal as one of his last acts in the United States Senate. And on top of that, as it was mentioned earlier, the president and Republicans have engaged in a lawsuit to overturn all of the Affordable Care Act. So going farther than anything they've tried to do legislatively, which would leave some of the law in place or either leave their version of some health care law in place. The president has advocated for this lawsuit, which he says he hopes will terminate the entire law. So I think it's important as we move into this anniversary, which we do want to be positive about this weekend, the 9th anniversary of the signing of the Affordable Care Act, is to recognize that it has worked, that we have opportunities to make it better, but that threats remain. And that was the purpose of this call, and it's the purpose of the work that we do here at Protect Our Care. With that, operator, we'll open for questions.
Thanks, Brad. If anybody on the line has a question you'd like to ask, if you'll press *3 on your phone to enter our Q&A queue. Again, that's *3.
Operator, we're going to give them one more announcement, and then we'll...
Yeah, again, if you have a question that you'd like to ask, if you press star 3 to enter the Q&A queue, again, that's star 3 on your phone.
All right, operator, if there are no questions, then I think we can begin to wrap up this call. I want to thank everybody for joining us. I want to thank Congressman Kim, if you're still on, if you have any closing remarks you would like to make.
No, I mean, I think that I'm just grateful for all the different perspectives on this call and being able to talk about, you know, how this is important. And, you know, it's certainly, as you said, an important date for us to think about all that's been accomplished and the many Americans that have been able to gain health care because of it. But we also recognize the fragility of this all and the need to keep on working hard to be able to protect our care. So I look forward to continue to work alongside many of the people on this call to make that happen.
Great. Thank you, Congressman. Thank you all for joining us. Thank the reporters. Thank Laurel. Thank you all both for being on this. Thank you, Angela, for being on this call. And we will talk soon. Thanks, everybody.